It's time to welcome Paul Royal and Bob Wren back to the microphones with more of Impact.
All right, we welcome you back. And in the first half of our program, we've asked him to stay with us just a little longer because we want to just sort of talk about two or three other things that the Wasatch Taxpayers Association are going to probably be involved with. And I had some questions for Gary Oliverson and Tracy Taylor. And Bob, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before I sort of shift gears here for a minute?
Well, yeah, no, I just think that's fascinating following all these lawsuits back and forth over this issue, which in the end, I hate to say it, but if the homeowners win up there and they get their court costs paid for this, I mean, all we're doing is just creating more things. Haven't you guys worked to try to get this thing straightened out? And why have you had to go to litigation?
Well, that was the only thing that was left up to us by the county council. We've met with them as the fire district board, even though it's still the county council, and we offered many suggestions on how they could do this, said that we would even continue to supplant this over a numerous years as you moved it slowly over across to the entire county. They indicated they liked some of those ideas and everything else, but when it was all said and done, they basically said, no, we're not going to do that. And when we asked why, we were told by the council chair, we don't want to. And so when you get answers like that, it's very difficult to have a dialogue where you can get something to work well between the government and the citizens. It leads only one thing. And the problem you got to understand is when you sue or create litigation against a government agency, you're actually paying both sides of that. Right. Because the government doesn't have to take that money out of their pocket. They've been taking it out of all the taxpayers' pockets in order to pay for all this litigation. Yet the taxpayer then has to go and hire their own attorneys in order to litigate against the county to get some relief through a judicial process.
What I think, too, needs to be brought up is the fact that Jordanelle homeowners have been double taxed for over a decade. So they've been paying their Jordanelle fire assessment fees, and they've been paying Wasatch County fire as well. So I don't know anybody in the great country that we live in that likes to be double taxed. It's either one or the other, but why are they paying for everybody down in the county too? And then the budget disparity between the county fire budget and the Jordanelle fire budget is they've supplanted a lot of the costs onto the Jordanelle budget that should be spread out throughout the whole county, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's
right, Gary?
Correct. All administrative costs, until this last year, all the administrative costs were on the Jordanelle budget. Now, the Jordanelle budget was $2.7 million. The Heber budget was $566,000. And that's where all the administrative costs, all the testing, all the training, and everything else had to do with taking care of the fire department, the fire officers, getting them trained, and being able to do the professional job that they do. So that has been there for over a decade in that form. So this 80% increase that they're proposing has to do with the transfer of that information from the Jordanelle back down across to all of the residents of Washington.
Okay, now are you suggesting that the 80% tax increase that they are trying to impose is because of the assessment area, that if they have to do away with the assessment area, that's why they're going to need the 80% tax increase, and they're just doing that in case they lose? Is that what you're...
No, not in case they lose. No. What it is those fees, that the money it takes to run the fire department, the 2.7 and the 566,000 total together, is what it takes to run the fire department. So when they start moving this around to make it more countywide, that's part of the process of putting the fire budget together now. So they're moving part of this to Wasatch countywide, but keep in mind, when they say 80% tax increase, that's 80% tax increase to us also. So we're still paying.
Sure. Yeah.
Plus, there's an assessment area that they're proposing, which they want another $671,000.
Okay, Tracy, is it your opinion that the 80%...
Well, can I just interrupt you for a minute? We've got a caller that wanted to say a few words, and we wanted to hear what our caller has to say. So give me just a minute here to make sure everything's
okay. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Okay, what was your question, and what were you trying to say?
It's not a question, it's a comment. I'm a taxpayer in Wasatch County, and I have intimate knowledge of the Jordanelle area, and a couple of things need to be brought to light. Most of the buyers that purchase in Jordanelle particularly can't afford to be in proximity, so they choose Jordanelle. Secondly, not all, but some of the people up in Jordanelle really don't like to have a Heber City mailing address because they want to be a part. They want to be different than Wasatch County. And secondly, the people who buy in Jordanelle ought to be very aware, and they should educate themselves about special fire districts, about water sprinkler systems and things like that, and they ought to pull up their big boy pants and accept being up there and stop trying to force a tax on all of us because, one, they didn't do the research, you know, and two, they chose to live up there.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to add?
No.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, you know, everybody, I think, has seems to have an opinion about what is going on. But can we shift gears for just a minute? Because I wanted to ask a question for the Wasatch Taxpayers Association. It seems to me that, coming up in the next little while are going to be some bond issues. We're going to see some truth in taxation hearings. Now, it may not all happen this year, but over a period of the next couple of years, we've got a school district that's going to want to build a school. The aquatic center is probably going to be in a bond situation unless something really dramatically happens. And we have the potential of seeing a few other things. And I want to know, is the Taxpayers Association going to take those budgets and really scrutinize them and be able to issue back to the citizens a report on what they are finding so that we can fully understand? As Bob and I over the years have looked at budgets, and I want to tell you, as everyone knows who looks at budgets, what we get from most, not all, but what we get from most tax-supported institutions are minimal budgets that are required by the state. And they never say the full thing. They give you just a bit and a piece and a part and a here, and then you have to sit around. It's like playing the giant shell game of figuring out where the money is and who's got it and where it's going. And I'm wondering, is the Taxpayers Association going to be able to do that for us as citizens so that when we go to these hearings, when we go to the ballot box, that we can actually be an educated citizen of being able to say, hey, this has been looked at and here is what they have found?
Well, sure. I mean, that's our intention. But, you know, with that said, here's a call out to everybody listening today. I'm sure there's some CPAs listening as well. We'd love to have some help. We know there's very, very knowledgeable people in our community, and we need to tap into those folks. And it's for the common good. I mean, as we said, we're not into espousing opinions about things we haven't researched. That's not what we do. We're really just looking at solid numbers, and those are black and white, and we're presenting it to the public. That's the extent of what we're trying to do here. So we're hoping people will come tonight to the meeting at 7 o'clock at the Senior Citizen Center, and it's going to be in the classroom down the hall. Please come. And we're going to go into more detail than we have been today, but we'd love people to step up or email us, Wasatch Taxpayers with an S, wasatchtaxpayers@gmail.com, or go to our website. You can look at it for free. It's free information, but you can sign up to be a member on our website. We have PayPal set up. Or our address is there if you want to send us a check. $10 per person per year. That is the cost. You know, we just don't want it to hold people back from joining, but, you know, we need some administration type money. We, you know, put ads in the paper, or we do things like that. Otherwise, it's a purely volunteer group.
Jay, don't you give a senior discount?
No,
or
we
family,
don't.
Or a family rate?
The
$10 for everybody? Wow!
That the $10 is the senior discount that we're giving to all the people in the community. But we really want people to get involved. The one thing, too, I want to mention before the hour's up is some of us went down to the legislature to testify on some issues that really affect Wasatch County. Some people may know that I personally have been working on the procurement and the bidding process for public buildings for over a decade. And there was a bill this general session, SB 190, that were procurement code updates. They haven't been updated since the 70s, and they really needed to be updated. But procurement is all purchasing within the state. So it could be the new jail that they want to build. Okay, it could be the I-15 core project where $13 million was paid to the losing bidder. The DABC Liquor Commission that had issues, I think, a year and a half ago. Those are all procurement issues. And what they've done with updating the codes has also been to put penalties associated with these laws, because they've been on the books for 40 years, but they were more guidelines, as you say, than they were.
Now, Tracy, weren't they updated last year?
Well, this is going to be a two, three-year process, because honestly, it's like 380-page bill. It's a monster of a bill. And so they've been updating it last year. They did it again this year, but what happened was they attached penalties on these codes. So that got everybody's interest.
Tracy, if I could, those aren't civil penalties. They were criminal penalties this time for violations of the ethics acts for the procurement area and everything else. And when they brought it up in the committee meeting that she testified at, they talked about kickbacks and gratuities. And what happened was all the county, city, alliances, anything to do with government, all wanted to be exempted out of this procurement bill. Now, what have they done, or what are they planning on doing, if they have to exempt themselves out of ethics and being held accountable by a criminal penalty?
And kickbacks and gratuities?
Well, you know,
the big
question is, though, you know, doesn't that say something? When someone says, well, I don't want to be involved in ethics, and I don't want you to be able to tell me that I can't get kickbacks, doesn't that tell you the form that we have and what's going on right now? Because we do have an organization in this valley, by the way, and we haven't disclosed it, but I'm just going to mention it briefly. We have been conducting an investigation on this particular entity, and I have personally interviewed two businesses who are not in this valley, who are willing to swear up and down that they have given kickbacks in procurement. So, you know, that's coming to light, and we're going to be talking
about
it.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem why this needed to be changed. But I think what speaks really loudly is that everybody's trying to get out of it. It's like all the rats are jumping off the ship now.
Yeah.
And you're wondering why. What have you done, or what do you plan to do?
Well, the section, if anybody is just really wants to get involved in it and see what section of the bill this is talking about, when you go to SB 190, it's line 4903. It's section 111-63G-GA-2308.
Oh, yeah.
And it's exempted public entities. Okay, so interlocals are exempted from this whole bill. Do we have a couple interlocals in our community?
We do.
Which ones?
Heber Light and Power is one of them.
And maybe the Economic Development. Okay,
yeah.
That's an interlocal. Are there any other interlocals? They are totally exempted from being held accountable for any type of procurement.
And special service districts.
But there's the section of the ethics portion of the bill that special service districts, cities, and counties wanted to be exempt from.
Why on earth? Now, see, doesn't that open the door where you're asking questions? I think I'm a reasonable guy, and I'm going, ethics should be part of what we elected you to do. You should have some ethics and morality and be open and transparent. So now you're saying, no, we don't want to do that. So then my question comes up, so what is it that you're doing wrong that you don't want to come to light?
And all these Absolutely. Entities have attorneys. So, all the cities have city attorneys, county attorneys. I mean, that's what these people get paid for, is to make sure that their public entities are following the law. Isn't that part? I mean, so it's not like we have to hire extra people to keep them, you know, in line with this bill. There's people already in our workforce that do this.
Tracy, did that bill get passed with those exemptions in?
It sure did.
It did.
Okay.
And that's why some of us went to testify, because we just wanted to bring it to light. A lot of the legislators had no idea that these exemptions were put in at the 11th hour. Yeah. You know, we hear about this in the federal government, right? Yeah. The 11th hour, nobody knew what was in the bill and they voted for it. We wanted to bring it to light, to let these legislators know that that this happened in the last substitution, number 3. This is what happened, because they started to read this bill and realized that they're going to be held to this. Now, they're supposed to be meeting all through the summer to get these entities back in the bill, and there were a lot of legislators that were not happy about these exemptions. The House and the Senate talked about it on the floor when they were voting on this, and at least they knew about it and discussed it, and they were pretty much holding these public entities' feet to the fire to get back into this bill over the summer interim. So.
And they will have an interim study, which happens about once a month, and they will have, I mean, that is something they are talking about, that they will, who knows what they'll do. But it's another one of those issues that still hasn't completed. Sometimes this stuff takes a very long time.
Right.
Is there anybody representing us in the Senate and the House?
Tracy and I.
That
and a couple others
is that an announcement?
Did not want to vote for this stuff, that wanted to keep the request going, that you didn't have to worry about ethics.
This the procurement bill had many changes in it.
Okay,
but this was the linchpin, and it was not going to go through whatsoever. Now this is a multi-hundred page document.
Okay,
and it wasn't going to go through whatsoever unless exemptions were granted to all of these agencies. And I brought up the fact of saying, why don't you just leave the exemptions alone and work it out in the summer, as opposed to giving the exemption and then trying to bring it back in the summer? It makes no sense. They're doing it all backwards. But it was not going to go through had they not done it.
Well, and they thought it wouldn't go through if they didn't. But I swear, if, you know, just discussing it on the House floor, the Senate floor, and if they would have voted for that bill without those exemptions, and they put the exemptions back in and said, no, we don't want substitution 3, we want everybody back in and let's vote on it, what public entities are going to fight that and say,
well, I can tell
and
you
to
one
make
of
a public issue about the fact that they don't want to be part of the ethics on this bill? I don't know that they would have done that, but they didn't push that issue.
Let me ask you a question, though. Was the League of Cities and Towns there fighting?
Yes, they were.
And special service districts.
And the Association of Counties.
Yes.
And this is
big
what...
Big lobbyist groups.
Big lobbyists.
And now you ask the question, so who's running the legislature?
Well, and to bring this back on a local level, this is why we're bringing it up this morning, is because this all comes back to a local level. For instance, this county pool proposal is proposed by the Parks and Rec Department of the county, which is a special service district. And if they're not going to be held to any ethics, if this passes, this bond passes, and they get to build an aquatic center, right now they're not held to any ethics in this bill, and they've purposely fought this at the legislature in March. The special service districts did. Now, until special service districts are back in this procurement code, I don't feel comfortable personally, I'm going to speak personally, I don't feel comfortable with building a $25 million pool when there are no penalties for anybody not following the law.
Or for those who violate ethics. Generally.
There you go.
Well, when you don't have a criminal penalty attached, you've got people, especially in this county, where we've heard special service districts say, yes, we're violating the law, but there's no penalty. So no
what?
Problem.
Yeah, so what? Okay, no harm, no foul.
And a few minutes left, give us a review. And
save me a minute because I wanted to make, to make a point.
Go ahead, make your minute, and then we can let the other way around.
A couple of the questions that have come up on our Wasatch Live at hotmail.com. There have been a number of questions over the last couple of months. And I wanted you to, as the Taxpayers Association for Wasatch County, I wanted you to address these questions. The biggest question coming up is there are still those out in radio land, if I can use that, that believes that there is a connection between the Impact Program and the Wasatch County Taxpayers Association.
Okay, that belief is not true.
Okay, that's the point. The fact of the matter is that we are independent bodies, and the Wasatch Taxpayers Association runs and does their thing, just like Bob and I have been doing our thing for 10 years. And there is you're not in our bailiwick, and we're not in your bailiwick.
We may have a commonality of issues that we address, but no, we're not related.
And you do have an open mic for anybody to come, correct?
We've always had one.
And we've always, always encouraged people to join us and to get involved.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of opinion. And you know what? We hear this all the time. I mean, a lot of us on the board and the members come back and say, oh, I had a bunch of people still griping about Heber Light and Power or still, you know, asking about how much our high school cost. And, you know, and where are these people? Where are these people that are still not happy about these things?
Right.
We want you involved. The more, the better.
Well, I just wanted to clear that air on there because I've been in some gatherings where people said, well, you know, you guys speak for the Wasatch taxpayers or they speak for you. And I go, oh, wait a minute. They are an independent body and they speak for themselves.
Well,
just like
and
we continue. And there have been times when we've asked you some pretty tough questions about what's going on.
Well, the thing, too, is transparency and accountability are universal issues. And so you happen to have a great forum for people to come on and tell their side of the story. We're a small town. We don't have very many of those venues. And so, you know, you really cover a very important part of this community and getting information out to the community. So we're common in that way. We're just trying to get information to the public.
Anyway, people, we've about run out of time. Gary, good to see you again, and thank you for
Bob.
Coming in and talking about it. Tracy, it's good to have you. And you're the chair of the Wasatch Taxpayers Association this year.
I am. And please come tonight, 7 o'clock, Senior Citizen Center, down the hall in the classroom. We'd love to see you. We really try not to waste people's time. We really try to give.
Oh, let them know that you do operate by an agenda.
Oh, yeah, definitely an agenda. And we don't want to just sit around and talk and not accomplish. We are about getting information to you guys. So if you come, I hope you always feel that you're getting information you didn't get elsewhere and it's not a waste of time.
Well, and they ought to come tonight because, as I understand it, in talking with you, you're going to be talking a little bit about the fire district.
Yes, we are.
And this 80% tax increase that's coming our way. Like a freight train in the dark, and we need to know about it. So people ought to be there, and there should be no excuses. This is an opportunity for you to see what's going to happen to your tax dollars, and which, by the way, the county has already let that cat out of the bag, that if this passes, we are going to see a tax increase. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
That came directly from an elected official in the county. So anyway, with that said, we appreciate you coming in and stopping by this morning. Bob, anything else before we...
Representative Powell will be with us again tomorrow. We may be talking about the HB 76 override, which has a deadline for this weekend of whether they're going to do it or not.
And we may be talking not only about that override, but getting into some specifics about the right to carry and...
And maybe, a lot of different things.
A lot of things. There's a lot of things going on. Anyway, to you, our listeners, we appreciate you joining with us today. We look forward to you being with us tomorrow. And until then, thank you so much.
You've been listening to Impact, coming to you Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m. right here on KTMP 1340.